If you'll put up the very first scripture, and I feel loud and quite a bit coming back at me right here. Okay, it does? All right. The first scripture is Matthew 5:16. If you'll put that up, we're going to read that, and then we're going to pray and get going, okay? Matthew 5:16. If you'll stand while we read this word, let's continue the tradition Pastor Will is going, honoring the word of God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen. I want to pray. I'm going to pray. And if you agree with my prayer, you say amen. If not, just say oh me. Father God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to minister your word, to share your word. We lift up and we magnify the name of Jesus in this place. His name is above every name. His name has set us free. His name has come to deliver us, to provide for us, to exalt us, to lift us up out of death and into life. Father, we just thank you for that mighty name that we have, and we just lift that name up over each and every person here. And I trust you that by your Holy Spirit, you're going to custom fit everything that is said. You're going to custom fit it to each and every life, to empower us, to strengthen us, to build us up, so that way we can become the people that you created and designed for us to be, that will fulfill everything that you had for us to do, that when we finish our race and run our course, we'll hear, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." And we just give you all the glory and the honor for it in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right, you can sit down. Well, I'm a little bit excited. I'm going to not even try to calm down a little, because if I calm down, I won't be me. And so we're going to talk about prayer today. Pastor Will's been sharing a series he started on money, and I'm so glad he did. That's so awesome. I wish churches would have taught some of the stuff that he teaches us, that they would have imparted some of the things. And he's always talking about putting handles on truth for us. Well, today you're going to get to feel the handle weight a little bit. And so I'm going to encourage you and strengthen you about some of these things. And so in talking about praying for people, it causes a whole bunch of people to have anxiety. And I'm telling you what, we're going to deal with that today. And today you're just going to be like, okay, I can do this. You know, in January the 15th, 1988, that was my first date with my lovely wife. Next month, we'll be married 34 years. Amen. And you know, as we were getting to know each other, it was the end of 10th grade in high school. And we started dating. Well, we'd get together. And, you know, and back in those days, you know, like now, you don't want to talk to your girlfriend in front of your parents and all that. So if I was over there, she'd come over to our house. We'd go outside. We'd go out in the driveway. And we'd pop the tailgate down on a truck. And you'd just sit on the tailgate. And still to this day, if I sit down on this stage and swing my feet, I flash back to sitting on that tailgate. Oh, I'm telling you. I am madly in love with that woman. I don't even apologize about it. And so if you're not enjoying marriage, you're doing it wrong. Come see me. I can help you. Don't be dumb. So I'm telling you. So we would sit out there on that tailgate and we'd just talk. And we'd get to know one another, talk about dreams, talk about things, all that stuff, you know. I mean, we had great and wonderful plans, you know, as teenagers. And I was 18 and she was 17 when we got married. We got married right after high school. We graduated, and we couldn't wait to get married. Our parents thought it was necessary that we wait until we graduate to get married. Probably wisdom, you know, but anyhow, it was awesome. Well, the same way is how we get to know the Lord. Spending that tailgate time with Him, coming to church, being around faithful believers, getting in the Word, and experiences that we have in life, they can shape us for the good and the bad of knowing God. And so my wife and I were married. I'm living for God. I got saved at youth camp. Glory to God. That was the start of that. And I was back and forth going, you know, like this. And I came to the point. I'd rededicated my life so many times I wore out the rededication button. And I didn't have fruit inside of my life. I didn't understand some things that I know right now. And I've got something for you in the orange shirt whenever church's over. And so anyways, we're sitting here, and just getting to know things about God, and I just come to the decision, that's it. That is it. I'm tired of this up and down. I'm going to live for God, you know? And so, I left it all. Left it all on the field, so to speak. And I went after God, and I'm on fire for God. But the thing was, is I wasn't spending much tailgate time. And so we're going to church, we're faithful to church, we're tithing, we're doing all this. I was even helping in church, but I wasn't having that personal tailgate time. And so, kicking along, I'm just doing good. I'm just normal, more normal old Christian Calvin, you know, just going. I was excited about things. Well, a friend of my dad's, kind of a friend of the family, him and his wife, they were losing everything. They had introduced drugs and alcohol into their family, and it did what it does. And so they were losing everything, and we went over there, and I bought a tractor from him back then. And me and my dad, we pull up, and my dad's awesome. He taught me a lot of great and wonderful natural things, but he never taught me about Jesus, never taught me to pray, seek God, to live by faith, to step out by faith, never taught me those things, and we're responsible to teach our kids that. And so me and my dad, we go there, and this guy, his name is Marion, and he was down this valley, beautiful training center, just, it was like 90 acres, log house, training center, all this stuff, and he's coming down this hill. And he's carrying something, and I thought he was laughing. And he's coming down through there, because he was kind of a character, just an awesome guy. And he's straightened out now. But he's coming up. He was wailing and bawling. And we're just standing there, and we're like, I mean, I knew all this was going on, the whole thing. They're losing their place, losing his marriage, the whole nine yards. It's just train wreck. And he comes up, and he is... I've never seen a grown man wail and bawl, but he was wailing and bawling. And I remember standing there, wow. And me and my dad, we were just standing there, and we're trying to kind of comfort him. And I remember thinking, I don't know what to do. This Jesus that we're going to church, I don't know how to step out and help this guy. I don't know how to pray for him. All I knew to do was, man, if you could come to church and talk to the pastor. And he did. And me and my wife had him and his wife over at our house. But it was just too far gone. And I didn't know what to do. And that was one of those pivotal marks in my life that you can look back over your life and go, that was a turning point, that was a turning point, that was a turning point. There is where I said, okay, Jesus, it's time me and you have tailgate time. I'm tired of being the guy that's faithful to church and he's helping at church, but I don't know this Jesus that they're talking about. And I got a friend standing there wailing and bawling, and I don't know how to help him. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to do this. And the pastor had a series on prayer, and when he got done, I was more confused than when he started. And so I was just like, this ain't good. And he is a wonderful pastor. Love, 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 love people. And so I'm start pressing into this. And so they had a revival at church. And this pastor, Clint Dawkins of Sharon Baptist Church, Tecumseh, Oklahoma, that man's a mighty man of God. He was preaching. And he said, if you're on fire for God and you want more of God, for 1 week, just 1 week, shut off everything that's not God. Set it aside. Don't listen to anything that's not God. Don't read anything that's not God. 1 week. And I mean, man, boy, when he said that, bam, he hit me. And I was like, okay. I was a delivery driver. I'd be gone overnight, twice a week, leave on Monday, come back Tuesday, leave on Thursday, come back Friday. And I thought, I can do this. 1 week, I'm going to do that. So I went into Mardell's, first time I'd ever went into Mardell's Christian bookstore. And I thought, I'm going to go into Mardell's, and I'm going to find me a book to read and some audio teachings. And so I go into Mardell's, and I'm walking around there, and I find the audios. And at that time, it was cassettes. And so I'm looking at these, and I walk up, and I'm like, I don't know what to get, Lord. And I'm like, I don't know nothing. I didn't even know there was a spirit-filled section in Mardell's. And so I walk up, and the very first set of tapes that I pick up was Kenneth E. Hagin, The Believer's Authority. Come And I'm looking at that, I'm reading the back, and I'm thinking, oh my, I don't know about all that. That looks interesting. I go to set it down, and I'm like, no, that's the one. I mean, because I could amaze you at what I don't know still yet today. And so I got these tapes, and so I'm walking around. I was like, okay, when you drive a truck, you always need something to drink, something to snack on, and you need a book to read because you're going to sit and wait. It's a guarantee. And so I went over and I was like, I need a little book to read. And so I'm kind of walking through the aisles and I walk on this one aisle and I realized later that was a spirit-filled section. And I walk up to this aisle and there's this book right there. And I'm looking at it and it says The Tongue, A Creative Force by Charles Capps. And I thought, well, now I've always had a problem with my tongue, that's for sure. That's a good place right there to start. So I picked that book up and I left Martell's and I was loaded for bear. And I didn't even know what I had. And me and my wife, we would listen to those tapes and we would stop that tape and be like, man, that is what it says. But Pastor says this, and he's a wonderful man. Well, that is what it says. And then we'd flip our Bible over and we would read these things. And so we're learning this and this stuff is coming alive. And so then I came to the point that everybody comes to. You're either going to have to go with word or you're going to have to go with tradition. You're going to have to decide which side of the line you're going to be. Are you going to go with the fitting in with the crowd at work, fitting in with culture, fitting in with all of them? Or are we going to step over here and be the man of God that God called and created us to be? Which one is it going to be? Because God leaves that choice up to us. And we get to decide, and he gives us instructions, and we can either obey or disobey. And so I'm like, oh, Lord, I need to, what do I do? And my wife says, you need to call Jerry. And the house we had bought was a guy named Jerry Matheson, a mighty man of God. And he was telling us when we bought this house, he was talking about praying for people, seeing people healed of cancer, praying, seeing these visions of things. And it's like, okay, I don't know much about that, but okay, you know. And I knew he was not lying, but I didn't have anything to base it on. And my wife's like, I think you need to call Jerry. He knows things. And I was like, okay. So I called him and said, would you come over? And I told him what was going on. We're struggling with this. And him and his wife came over to our house. And I didn't even realize then, but the anointing of God that was on him was absolutely amazing. And he said, I'm gonna give you every answer from the Word of God. And then you'll get to choose whether you're going to believe it or not. I said, yes, sir. He sat down there and we started asking him questions. And it was like Bible marathon. He would just be like, okay, and we had our Bibles out. And this went on for like two and a half hours. And that guy answered questions I didn't even know how to make a question of. He was just flipping. I thought, this guy's got the whole Bible memorized. And he was answering all these questions. And so we get done, and he's standing there, and he said, have you ever seen a miracle? I said, No, I haven't. And I had gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit at that time, was praying in tongues, got baptized in that on the way to work one day, actually. And my wife said, hey, would you pray for Cal? And he's having problems with his left hip. And by the end of the week, I would be hopping up the ramp, pushing a two-wheeler. And he stood there and he looked at me and he goes, well, the trouble is, your left leg is a little shorter. It's about a quarter inch shorter than your right. He had a word of knowledge. I didn't even know what that was. And I said, okay, nobody's ever told me that. He said, sit down in that chair. And I had a footstool, a pair of boots on, put my feet up there, and my left foot was about a quarter inch shorter than my right. And he goes, that throws your hips off. That's why you're having so much trouble with that nerve and everything. It's like, okay. He said, you ain't never seen a miracle. I said, no, sir. And he said, watch this. He took his fingers and he put them on my shin. And he goes, leg grow in the name of Jesus. And my boot goes, roomp. And grew out like that. And Shauna was standing there and she goes, oh my gosh. And she jumped back and it startled you. I had closed my eyes when he was going to pray. I wish I would have left them open so I could actually see this miracle. And I've never had no more problem with my hips since then. Glory to God. But I've held two other people's their feet in my hands and watched God grow their leg out. I've witnessed three other people, me and another person praying. I've got to witness this. So I've seen five, counting mine, five people's leg. And for the things of God, you have to build a folder in your brain. That's just kingdom stuff right there. And you just put it in there because your natural carnal mind, the Bible says, is an enemy against God. It wants to reason everything out, think everything out, and you got to just put that, that's a God thing right there, and you just put it in the God folder, and you go, God, he really meant it when he said all things are possible. It's amazing. So that just tore that up, and so we're struggling about this on healing and things like that, and I see in pictures, and the Lord showed me this picture. I'm like, what about this, Lord? And I seen this picture of a piece of paper, and it's like notebook paper. It had a line down the middle, and on one side of that line it said for, and on the other side against. And I felt in my heart the Lord say, just write all the scriptures that's against healing on one side, and all the scriptures that's for healing on the other side. And you know, you can settle a whole bunch of Bible matters by that simple principle. And so I thought, you know what, I can just do that. So I had five or six that I'd gotten from church that I later found out was misdiagnosed, but I had those written on that one side of the piece of paper, five or six scriptures that they would use of why it's not always God's will to heal, and I completely filled the other side of that piece of paper and started writing on the back, and I said, settles it for me. And so I went with the word, and I went on, and I said, now God, I got to learn how to implement these things. I got to learn how to teach my daughter to pray for somebody. Now I got grandkids. I got to be able to step out there. And how do I do these things? And so the Lord gave me what we're going to go over today. 1, 2, 3 in prayer. I like simple. I mean, if it's not 1, 2, 3 simple, you might better check whether it's God or not. If it doesn't come with two easy big old handles that fits your hand, okay, you might need to check about it. Because if it doesn't work on Tuesday when you're at work, if it doesn't work when you're at the grocery store, you might have learned something that's really not all Bible. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a private, personal prayer time that we have where we separate to the Lord. And some people, they think, well, you know, my walk with Jesus is private and personal. That's very true. While you're seeking him in the secret place, while you're in your prayer closet, while you got your nose on the carpet, while you're reading your word and you're having your quiet time with the Lord. But as soon as you step out of that closet, your private time just became public with your family. And when you step out of your house, it just became public with your neighbors and those passerby. And when you go to the grocery store, it just became public with them. And we just came back from Honduras, and my private personal life became public in Honduras to go down there to pray for people and watch God set people free, watch pain just erode away from somebody in a split second and watch their face just go, whoa. When they had all kinds of pain and you speak that word over them and woof, and it just goes. And so you have to have this inside of your life. Me and another guy, we were at work. I run a road grader. We're working on this road together and we park by this driveway. And the lady pulls up, an older lady. She pulls up next to her driveway. And so I said, you know, we're just parked right here and we're going to working on this road. And she said, okay. And this is a little clue. When you hear people just out of the blue, they start sharing their troubles. It's because the answer's on the inside of you. That's why they do it. And so we're standing there. She said, yes, ma'am. Well, we'll be moving and whatever. She said, no, thank you for what you're doing. And she said, you know, I just lost my husband 8 months ago. I said, I'm so sorry to hear that. And she said, yeah, now I got it. This was back in the winter. She says, now I got to decide what I'm going to do. She had this farm, all these cows, all this stuff to take care of. Now she's alone. And I said, oh, man. And she's telling us about this, and she had this knitted stocking cap on. And then she pulls this stocking cap off, and she said, I had a brain tumor. And she's got this big old hideous scar right here. And she said they had to go in there and take this tumor out. And she said, I've had headaches ever since then. They never go away. I was just saying, hey, we're right here. We're going to fix this road, and we'll be moving along. She's bringing this out, but I've learned, hey, this is a God kingdom moment right here now. Am I going to step into it or am I going to draw back? And so I said, okay. And I said, well, ma'am, you know, Philippians 2:9, I think it is, it talks about Jesus is the name above everything, every name. And so everything that's named has to bow to the name of Jesus. And so I could feel this resistance with her, kind of a religious resistance. And the Lord gave me this to work around that. And so I said, you know, ma'am, in James, it says, if anybody lacks wisdom, if they'll ask him, he'll give them wisdom. Oh, I believe that. And she knew Jesus. I talked to her, and I said, you know what? The Bible says that the name of Jesus is above every name. And she said, yeah. I said, I believe that if Jesus was to walk right up here to your truck in the flesh and you ask him what to do, he could tell you. And if he was to reach over and touch your head, those headaches would be gone. And she said, I believe that. And I said, well, I'm a praying guy. It's something I say. I'm sure I picked it up somewhere. And I always tell people, I said, well, I'm a praying guy. Can I pray for you? And she kind of looks at me, because a lot of people, they just kind of look at you for a second. I've only been told no just a handful of times. And she goes, yeah. So I put my hand out. And she said, don't even pray about the headaches. I don't care about them. They're always there. I just need to know what to do about all this stuff. And I said, well, let me pray. She puts her hand on my hand, and I start praying for her. And I start speaking over that and asking the Lord for wisdom. And then I said, now, Lord, she didn't even ask about these headaches, so I'm just stretching my faith out there. And I just speak over whatever's going on, the pain to go in the name of Jesus, this to subside. And I just spoke peace, and the name of Jesus is above every name. I just speak the name of Jesus over these headaches, over this trauma, over the injury. And I said, amen. You know, and she was like, okay. And so prayed for her, went on. About a week or two later, I'm grading down the road, and she's coming down the road. She stops. And the mechanic had called me. I had him on a Bluetooth thing asking me about something. And I said, hold on just a second. This lady stopped and opened the door. She goes, hey, just want to say thank you for what you're doing. And I know what I needed to do, selling all of my cows, getting rid of all of that. And I said, believe that's God. Believe God's giving you wisdom. And I said, hey, what about those headaches? And she said, well, I haven't had a headache since you prayed for me. And I said, that's our Jesus. And the mechanic's on the phone. He can't unhear it. He's not a, you know. Anyways, and so she leaves, and I get off the phone, and I go, hey, this lady. And I told him, really quick. He goes, oh, that's cool. I got to go. We'll talk to you later, Cal. And so, but you can't unhear it. It's still there. So let's get after this. You know, we learned a lot of good things. And in that tailgate time with the Lord, I had to come to real grips. Am I going to believe these things? Am I going to do these things? What's holding me back? And I remember sitting on the tailgate and Jesus talking to me. And he's going, what is holding you back? And it's insecurities, it's fear, it's inability, and it's inadequacy. All of these things. But what gets us over fear, what gets us over our inadequacies, what gets us over those things is information, application, the simplicity of 1, 2, 3. You know, if you think about it, when you got your job, wherever you work, places that I've worked, come in there, and then they bring you into like the HR department, you watch safety training videos, and they go, here's the rules, and here's what happens if you break the rules, and here's this, and here's how you do it. Now we're going to put you with a trainer to teach you stuff. And the local church congregation is supposed to be a training center for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, to pray for that person out on the road, to pray for the lady at Dollar General, to pray for whatever, you know? And so they put you with it, and it makes like this safe environment to where you can learn and you can have somebody, oh, no, hey, don't do that, buddy, right there. No, here's how we're going to do this. No, here's how we do this here. No, we don't do that like that. Here, do it like this. You'll learn. You're getting there. And you kind of navigate back and forth through these things with somebody that's got their arm kind of wrapped around you, giving you some training and instruction. Well, why do we make spiritual stuff so complicated? It's the same application. You spend a little tailgate time with the Lord, you find out some stuff. And see, I had to spend thousands and hours going to conferences to learn this stuff, because in the years past, the churches we was going to, we never had examples of that. We never got taught, this is how you pray for somebody. We didn't ever get taught, hey, this is how you take your wife's hand and go, Father, I just thank you for this woman that you gave me. Father, thank you for her and the gift that she is. Thank you, Lord, for everything. And Father, I just pray for every gift that's in her to come out. Help me be the man to help her be the woman you called and created her to be. Help me strengthen and empower her. Father, I just thank you for it in the name of Jesus. How hard is that? But I'm telling you, over the years, men after men after men that I've worked with have never prayed for their wife because of fear and insecurity and inability. So if you can count to three and remember three things, you'll have something in your toolbox today. First one, Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. I don't know if they're going to put that one up there or not. Yeah, they did. And now they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when they had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, He cried out and said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many who warned him, be quiet, be him. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise. He is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And so Jesus answered and said to him, point number one, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. So that is point number one. Whatever you're going to be praying about, whether you want to pray for your wife, you want to pray for your kid, you want to pray for your job, you want to pray for the sick person that's at the store, what do you want to see happen? What is it you want to believe God for? What is the thing that you would like to see happen inside of their life? So that's point number one. And don't be afraid to step out there. Ask, be specific. What do you want to see? And so that makes it simple. So if I'm going to pray for my wife, what do I want to see in her life? If I'm going to pray for my kid, what do I want to see in my kid's life growing up? What did he just pray over all those kids going to church camp? What we want to see imparted and empowered and strengthened inside of their life. And so then we put that out there and we're just like, that gives you the one. And so the second one, 1 John 5:14-15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, that leaves a lot of people behind. If we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. See, a lot of times people will have confidence in somebody else that's been demonstrating and walking and displaying their works before so God can be glorified. They'll have confidence in their faith that if they ask something, God's going to hear them, but not me. But in Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So that tailgate time with the Lord, I'm learning what Jesus' response is. I'm learning that when the guy came to Jesus and said, Lord, I know you can make me clean if you will. And Jesus said, I am willing. Be thou clean. And he spoke to that. And in Luke 4, Jesus goes into Peter's house and they petition him to go in there and pray for Peter's mother-in-law because she had this high fever. And then Jesus goes in there and he sees this and she's got this high fever and he rebuked the fever and took her up and she got up and ministered and the fever left. I got to see that happen one time in my wife. She was sick, had something going on, got up real early in the morning and she had like 101.6 or something, fever. I got so mad, and instantly that scripture came back to my mind. I put my hand on her right now in the name of Jesus. Fever, you get out of her in the name of Jesus right now. And I spoke to it and turned around, and I picked that digital thermometer back up, and I stuck it back in her ear. And it was like 98.4 or 6 right there. In less than 3 seconds, that fever left. Now, I wish it was that way every time. And when it's not that way, I'm going to press in. I'm going to sit on the tailgate with the Lord. And I'm going to say, what about this, Jesus? Am I misunderstanding something, Jesus? Am I not walking in something that you've been trying to get to me, trying to show me? I have to have results when I pray because those people are hurting. Not so I can make a name for myself, but I can lift up his name and walk in it. Ephesians 2:10 says that he's got good works for us to walk in, that he's preordained. Well, the way we're going to walk in him is we got to step past fear and insecurity. We got to step past that. We got to get a little bit of training. We got to step out with a little tiny bit of boldness. And so that's one. Step two is you got to find scriptures. What does God say about this? What is his position on this? And then you can have that confidence when you pray. I had confidence when I prayed for that woman on the road that God would touch her life. Tears were just flowing down her, not because of me, but because of the anointing of the Holy Ghost that touches her. Your hand becomes an extension cord for the kingdom of God. Step number three, speak to the mountain. You know, in Luke 4, I just used that. Jesus spoke to that fever. He spoke to the blind man. You can see he rebuked that thing. He addressed that thing. The apostles, when they went in there, there's one, I think it's in Acts chapter 10, they called Peter to come in and pray for this lady that had died. And it says he was there and turning to her, so he was probably knelt down praying, and turning to her, he said, "Woman, arise," you know, and she rose up. You speak to the mountain, speak to that problem that's going on, speak the word of God to it, speak the word of God over your families, speak the word of God to your life, to your job, to your woman. Now speak that word, find out what that word is. What do you want to see happen? What does the word of God say about it? And speak to the mountain. And I'm telling you, you'll start seeing things start to happen. And that comes with that believer of the authority. That comes with understanding of the scriptures and the position that God has given us as a child of God. Amen. You know, something that just baffles your mind. It really baffles my mind. Ephesians 1:4 says that before the foundation of the world, God knew you. That's an amazing statement. I remember just reading that and thinking, what? Before the foundation of the world, man, your parents picked the time, good or bad, but God picked you. This is your turn. This is your time. The great people of old that we buy books about and everything, they run their race, they finish their course, and we can learn great and wonderful things from them, but this is our time. This is your time. I'm telling you, for you, it's your family, it's your kids, it's your life, it's your job. And we want to step into that. We want to walk into that. We don't want to leave nothing back. And when I get before Jesus, I'm not crawling up, I'm not limping up. We're in a race. I'm going to cross that. I'm going to take care of this temple. I'm going to keep my mind right. I'm going to pray in tongues every day. And I'm going to be the man that God called and created me to be. What about you? What do we want to see happen inside of our lives? What do we want to see happen inside of our families? Find some scriptures. Start speaking and praying them over. Step past boldness in a comfort zone. Step past that. Start practicing praying. I would pray going down the road in a semi. Man, I just was like, God, I got this fear and insecurity about praying in front of my wife and praying in front of somebody, and I just got to deal with that. You know, fear brings a thought. Brings an emotion, brings feelings, brings vain imaginations, and then if you'll allow it, it'll build a stronghold that'll limit your life and the access of it. But as soon as you step past, I'm telling you, fear loses all of its grip onto you. And you can step out there. And I've prayed for people. God, I was so scared when I started. I'm telling you, and sometimes I still chicken out. I'm telling you, and I walk away, God, forgive me, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I knew you wanted me to do that. But I'm telling you, then there's those times when you just step out. I walked into the Dollar General in Niagara one time. We were meeting my sister-in-law there. And I was like, oh, I'm going to run in here real quick and get some soda pop. So I go inside there, and there was nobody else in there. And the lady, she comes walking up to the counter, and she's got one of these elastic knee braces on. And, excuse me. And anyways, she's right there, and she walks up to the counter, and I was like, hey, how are you doing? And I ask people that because I genuinely care how they're doing. When I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I just fell in love with people. And so she's standing there, and she starts pulling this elastic thing off. She's like, oh, my gosh, that thing just, it like, I was like, yeah, they kind of cut circulation off after a while. She's like, yeah. And so she pulled that off right in front of me. I'm right here. Nobody's in line. Now, I don't want to disrupt businesses. And my, I work at the county. They didn't hire me to be an evangelist. They hired me to be a diligent, faithful employee. But as my life connects with other people, and I've prayed for several people out on county roads and watched God do amazing stuff. But she's right there. And I said, hey, yeah, I understand that. I said, hey, I'm a praying guy. Would you let me pray for you about that? And usually they'll just kind of look at you, and they're just kind of weighing it out, you know, getting a read of you. Are you a wackadoodle kind of person or something, you know? And she goes, yeah. So I take her hand, and so I start speaking over that knee in the name of Jesus. And listen to this. while I'm speaking and I'm praying about her knee, because I'm listening to the Holy Ghost on the inside, I wanted to look at her left shoulder. I wanted to keep looking at her left shoulder. And so I already had it. I thought, you know what? Usually I'll ask somebody. And I just started speaking over her left shoulder, be healed, pain going in the name of Jesus. And I let her hand down. She goes, how did you know that about my left shoulder? I said, I didn't. I can amaze you at what I don't know. And she goes, you don't know nothing about my shoulder. And I was like, no, ma'am, never seen you before. And she goes, I had surgery on my shoulder 2 years ago, and it still hurts me all the time. And she's standing there like this, and she's just in awe. And I said, Jesus knows everything about your life, and he loves you, and he gave himself for you. I said, God loves you, and I love you. And I said, just be well. And she was just standing there with this, got to build a little folder, that's a kingdom thing, and just put it inside of there. But you step out. So an example of this is, one time at church, I was teaching a Sunday school class, and it gets over, and there was kids Sunday school, and this young man, his name is Trey. They call him Trey because he was the third name of the grandpa, you know. He comes in there, and he goes, hey, Cal. And I said, yeah. And he said, and they're in class, they were talking about it, inviting Jesus in her heart. I want to do that. I said, well, that's awesome, buddy. I said, you want me to go get your mom? He goes, nope. I said, you want me to go get pastor? He said, nope. I said, you want me to pray with you? He said, yeah. See, he trusted me because his brothers were terrified of water and their dad was a goober and lived by carnal natural things and they were terrified that he was going to throw them in water or something. And they came to our house in our pool and so I set boundaries for their dad. We don't throw nobody in the pool around here. And those boys are scared to death of water and they probably learned that from you and how you would treat them will determine whether they're going to get over that. But while they're here, you're at my house, ain't going to be no monkey business. So he's in prison right now. I've got time to think about some of those things. And so this boy, Trey, he's 8 years old. And I said, okay, son. And there's a lot of scuttlebutt going on, people getting out of Sunday school. So let's go over here. And we went over to the prayer room on the side, and so I talked to him a little bit, make sure he understands about salvation. He does. Pray with him. Woof. I mean, man, you can see when somebody gets born again. It's awesome. And so I lead him to that. And when I do, the Holy Spirit, I seen a little picture of him standing next to me. I was on a prayer team at the end of church. I seen a picture of him standing right next to me. And the Lord used pictures for me. And so I told him, I said, hey, Trey, you know how at the end of church, pastor calls us up and we pray for people? He said, yeah. I said, I want you to come up and stand right next to me. He said, okay. And so at the end of church, I go up there. Here comes Trey out around. And pastor looks over there at me, and he just like, okay. I was his right-hand guy, and he trusted me. And Trey's standing right there. First lady walks up. We're praying, and she had a problem with her. I think she had a headache or something. And I said, okay, what I'm teaching right here, born again 1 hour. I said, okay, Trey, we're going to ask her what's the problem? What does she want to see happen according to what we know about the Lord? And then we're going to speak to that problem. Okay. Right here. So what's the problem? Got this headache. I said, okay, Trey, put your hand on top of her head. And we're going to speak to that headache to go in the name of Jesus. I said, go ahead. Headache, go. Name of Jesus. Boom. Her headache's gone. And she's just like this. And he's just kind of looking at me. And I seen him look down. And the Lord got my attention. And I said, hey, Trey, I said, is there a particular part of her body that you keep wanting to look at? And he said, yeah, her elbow. And I said, do you have a problem with your elbow? And she goes, yes. I twisted it with a car seat, her elbow. I said, okay. I said, Trey, that's a word of knowledge. The Lord's drawing your attention to that elbow right there. Born again, 1 hour. And I said, now put your hand on her elbow. And he put his hand on her elbow. I said, do the same thing. And he just said, elbow, be healed. And he let go. And she's just, whoa. This 8-year-old kid, born again 1 hour, steps out there. And the power of God will flow through each and every one of us. You don't have to have all your ducks in a row. You don't have to be able to quote scriptures. You just have to know Him. And as you spend time on that tailgate with Him and you step out, 1, 2, 3, what do you want to see happen? What is God's position on this matter? And let's speak to that problem. Let's speak to that mountain. And let's hold on in faith. Don't let go. I've seen God do some amazing, amazing things. And so today, we're going to get the opportunity to do that. This is a controlled, safe environment where you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be able to quote 12 scriptures. You don't have to do this, but you do just have to step a little past some comfort zone. But if we can't do it in here in a safe environment, how are we ever going to be able to learn to drive that truck and go down the highway? You know, how are we ever going to do it? How did we learn our jobs? It was in that controlled, safe environment. And so here's what it is. If you got a problem in your body and you need healing in your body, or you got a minor issue, something that you can boil it down. If you pray for somebody out in the public, don't pray more than 10 seconds. So if you got a problem going on in your life, if you've been prayed for 25 times, today's a new day. Today's your day. I'm telling you, there's an anointing here for you today. It's here. I know what I know, and I know today is a different day than you've had before. So just stick your hand up. If you've got something going on inside your body, there's a couple right back there, right here. You got something going on, and I would like for Jesus to touch that thing. There we go. Now, if you've never prayed for somebody, please step over the chicken line, because there's coming a day you're going to need to pray for your family. You're going to need to pray for your loved one, your best friend that's at work. You're going to need to step out. And don't be like me. I was just going to church. I was helping at church, but I wasn't spending tailgate time with the Lord. And when the situation arose, and this man's in extreme distraught, wailing and bawling, I didn't have the goods. I didn't have a tool in my toolbox. Except for, I need to get you to pastor. Why? Because pastor had been spending tailgate time with the Lord. Pastor knew scriptures. Pastor knew his God. I knew about my God. But I'm telling you, now I know my God. And I'm telling you, today's your day. Today. So if you raised your hand, just stand up where you're at, please. And now I'm asking you, you see somebody standing up, a couple of you, go over there, especially if you don't really know them that well, find somebody and just put your hand on it and just ask them that question. What do you need Jesus to do? And you give them the condensed, boiled down, back of the book version, not the 12 years of doctor's reports. I got a problem with my back. I got a problem with my knee. I got a problem with this. And then you speak to that, okay? Find somebody that needs that. Put your hand onto them and speak to it in the name of Jesus that's above every name. Put your hand on them real quick.
As we're praying, as we're entering into this time of prayer, is there someone here, your hands are tingling? Your hands are burning, tingling. Is that you? That's a healing gift. Would you come here, please? That's a manifestation of something. Is there someone here that's experiencing a very serious health issue? A very serious long-term health issue. It's chronic. Some sort of chronic issue. Maybe they're already being prayed for. What do you think about that? He's got a manifestation. His hands are tingling.
Amen.
He's got a manifestation. Why don't you just walk around and just start laying hands? Just be led. Be led. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
While they're praying, those of you that are sitting there, just take this moment and just begin to pray for your family. What do you want to see happen inside of your family, inside of your kids? What do you want to see inside of their lives? Take a moment and just step out there and pray. And see, when you can do it in a spot like this, you can do it while you're going down the road, coming and going from work. You can do it in person. You can stretch out. You can be light in this world. Be salt in this world. People can see Jesus inside of your life. Just begin to pray for your family real quick.
I don't want to buy that again. Let's,
Amen.
Got a manifestation almost right away. Just raise your hand. Yep. Good.
Amen.
Good. Good.
Amen.
Now, sometimes when we pray for things, you got the answer right away. Every time.
Yes.
All the time. God answered. Every time. All the time. But what He gave you is healing power. And that power will work and work and work until it affects a healing and a cure. You have what you asked for. He gave it to you now. Right away. Isn't that right, brother?
Yes, sir.
And then, so, I just wanted to jump in because I had those few things on my heart, and so I'm just going to hand it back to you.
So right now, what we want to do, I just want to ask you, while they're still praying, is there somebody here, because I don't know everybody, is there somebody here you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life? Or you know, you're in a backslidden state of near side of your heart. You would not want to stand before Jesus right now, that part, because we're to have confidence in that day of judgment. Are you here and you've never given your life, or you know in your heart, I am not where I'm supposed to be. I know that I know that I know I am not where I'm supposed to be with Jesus. If that's you, just raise your hand. Amen. We want to pray for you. Okay. I know you guys are born again. And I know where you're at. When conviction in your heart. Is there anybody else? We're going to pray with them. Well, I'm going to pray, and I want you to listen to me pray, because there's going to come a day you're going to get to pray that with somebody out there in the world. You're going to get to pray that maybe with somebody in your family or a coworker, and you're going to need to know how to pray. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to just speak, and I want you, everybody that can hear me, I want you to just repeat after me. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. I turn from my sin. I turn from my carnality. And I turn to Jesus. I renounce the devil and his works in my life. I turn to life. And this day, Jesus Christ is Lord and Master of this life. And I will live this life following Him all the days of my life, strengthened and encouraged by Him, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God is good. So remember that. 1, 2, 3. What do you want to see happen? What is God's position on it? And speak to that mountain. I'm telling you, you're going to need that this week. You know, one time I taught a lesson on a Thursday night Bible study. I felt led by the Lord to talk about Jehovah's Witnesses and an answer to some of these things. And I had several people go, what are we talking about Jehovah's Witnesses for? And I said, because we need to know. They get trained. We do not. And so I talked about that. And actually, the mother of Trey, that Saturday morning, a car comes up their driveway, two Jehovah's Witnesses. And she's concerned at church. She's, oh, Calvin, thank you. Because I even printed up these cards as scriptures about eternal security and stuff. And went over that. And she's, oh, I'm so thankful you did that. And I had that. I was ready. I'm telling you, we got to be ready. This is our time. This is your time. This is our day. I'm telling you, we got a race to run. And we need to kick that stuff off that's setting aside us. Get help with it. Deal with it. And get on with God. Amen? We got a gift for all of the men. Just want to thank you, men, so much for that. There's a huge responsibility on us as men of the house to teach and train and equip our kids. And if you're not doing that, repent, get in the Word, and get about your business and do your job. And I'm telling you, society needs us to be and train and be the men of God. There's a gift back there for you. So if you'll just stand up, I just want to pray over you. And we'll just bless you, and you'll be released. Father, I just thank you for everybody, and I thank you for your good word working on the inside of each and every person here. Father, I just thank you that they are the head and not the tail. I thank you that by your Spirit, they are never without help. They are never without hope. They are never ill-equipped. The Holy One is on the inside of them to empower and to strengthen them, and everywhere they go and everywhere their feet tread becomes kingdom territory. Father, I just thank you that we are the set apart ones for the kingdom of God. Father, I understand that we look different, but I just speak over these men boldness to be the men of God that they was called and created to be. And I ask you by your Holy Spirit to just strengthen and empower them, show them in the night times and dreams and visions of how to walk this thing out, how to be the man of God they were called and created to be. I call these families blessed. I call them covered and protected. I would declare Psalms 91:10 over each and every family that no evil shall befall you, nor any plague shall come near your dwelling. I call each and every family here blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right.